Good morning. It is the 17th day of April 2020. Good morning. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock today. COVID-19 remains a dominant theme in this country as it is across the globe. And one of the more controversial aspects of what we're going through has to do with shopping. As you all know, it is a nightmare out there trying to get into a supermarket, even a small shop. These days you have to stand up in a line outside for a while. And there are many views as to what should be done and how it could be done. One of the missing elements in all of the public information that has come out on this aspect of the problem is, where is the view of the supermarket operator? We've heard the government, we've heard the COVID czar in particular, speak about how government has been trying to address the problem. But we haven't really heard anything from the supermarket operators, because they must have a story to tell about how they are adjusting to this matter. So we've asked a couple of them to share with us their perspective. We originally hoped that we would have had them all together, but that hasn't been possible. So we'll take them as they come. And the first person on the line this morning with us is Andrew Bino of Carlton and A1. It is my understanding that the supermarket operators had a meeting last evening, Mr. Bino.
That is right, David.
Basically, what was the tenor of that conversation?
Right. But first, let me say that government has been meeting with us at various times. So that throughout this process, we have not been disconnected from the wishes or from the concerns of government. We have been working together. Yesterday's meeting of the chamber, had a review from all the various supermarkets, Massey, Popular, Jordan's, Price Mart, A1, People's Market, Trimark, Chanel's, Clifton Meats. We all had a meeting through the Chamber of Commerce or with the Chamber of Commerce. We agreed that the system of shopping by alphabet is a good one, and that with the early kinks being ironed out, that it would work well. The fact that we would have had a lot of people once again in line and jostling on Wednesday when we first opened this form of shopping was due to the fact that there would have been a pent-up demand prior to the opening. However, I must say that yesterday went well, and we expect that from now on that things would even out. So we all decided that it's best to give the system, a chance to work. I would say, though, that we recognize that people are out soonest after 6, and our request to government is that we start at 7, rather than keep the people waiting in line for 2 whole hours. We are available to work from 7 o'clock. So that's the first request of government. The other request that we are making is to allow us to pack back the store at night from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. so that during the curfew, we will have our merchandisers in store. That allows us first to put the store back in order for shopping the next day, because when we come in the next day, there's so much work to be done on the shelves that our staff cannot observe the social distancing between themselves and customers, because we have to be up between the customers and vice versa in order to get things on the shelf. The other thing is that during that time, we would be able also to service the call-in orders, and we have orders backed up. We have thousands among the supermarkets. We have thousands of orders that are backed up. so that the unfavorable comments that we are getting, really and truly, is unfair. We have so many orders. On the other hand, if we are allowed to merchandise during the curfew time so that the merchandisers would be in at 8 p.m. and they will not leave until 6 a.m. or after. So that allows us to get goods on the shelf, and it also allows us to get through the backlog of orders that we have. So then these are the only two requests that that I would like to make on behalf of the others, but I'm sure the others would have the opportunity to speak as well.
Your assessment as a group is that the jostling that we saw on Wednesday was due to pent-up demand.
That's right.
As we look at what has been happening this morning, that demand still appears to be pent up.
In a sense, yes, but that's why I say allow us to start from 7. And that gives us an hour to, ease that as well. But again, I am sure that come next week and the week after, when things are settled, that we wouldn't have this kind of jostling and so on that we've been seeing.
To what extent do you believe, though, that part of this is fear? And once there is fear, and once you start to be restrictive, there is a school of thought that people will continue to react in a manner that says, let me get as much as I can.
Well, fear from what point of view, David? Let me say that there's enough food in Barbados right now. So there shouldn't be any fear from that point of view that we are going to run out of food. Like now, yes, the boats that would have been bringing our produce and so on, we are still trying to offload those containers. So, we'll be back to normal pretty soon as far as fruit and veg is concerned.
There are people
the only thing that right now.
Yeah. There are people who have heard that. They've heard it from government. Now they're hearing it from you. But recognize, at the end of the day, this is about human behavior.
Right.
And with the best of intentions, you can find that human beings will react in ways that sometimes can be a little bit surprising. So you are in a period of uncertainty.
Right. But uncertainty from what point of view? Let me see exactly where you're coming from.
Well, we all recognize that while we have the assurance that there is food, at the individual level, people are going to say to themselves, look, first of all, I have only a limited window in which to shop.
Right.
I don't want to be caught in that line in the sun next week.
Right.
So you know what? I really need to do whatever I can to see how I can take advantage of this opportunity as best as I can. I suspect that part of what you all did to avoid the scenarios where, as I understand it, some people were going to the cashier with $1,000 and $1,200 in goods was that you put a limit on it. But there's that kind of uncertainty, and uncertainty breeds all types of reactions.
Frank, but I am saying that after a period of time that is going to dissipate, that we need not put that as such a major concern that it affects everything else. I am saying that within the next 2 weeks, shopping will be, near normal, not necessarily normal, but near normal.
Give us a perspective on what this has done to the operations of the supermarkets, because in all of this, that public perception is that the biggest winners are the supermarket operators. What's the truth?
Winners from what point of view?
Making money, the rush. And
No. Don't say making money. Now, the thing is that, yes, we are open less hours, so that the shopping is contracted within those hours. So we're not really making more money. And there's a distinction between money, sales, and profit. So yes, because of the rush right now, you know that our sales will increase. But by the same token, we would expect that sooner or later, the rush and the demand will lessen. You see where I'm coming from?
Well, as I said to you, I operate from the premise that it's human behavior, and we'll have to see it in operation. There are a couple of people who may want to join us in this conversation. So if you have a few minutes, please stay with us and let's engage some of the callers, because it's really important to get that perspective from you all. I mean, I'm keen to find out some other stuff from you about what happens behind the scenes, not just about the money. But let's hear what this person has to add, if they do have anything to add to this conversation. And let me say this today. I really would love the people who have been recognized as the regular callers this past week to take into consideration, just like how the government says don't go and try to buy up everything, remember that there's somebody else out there who needs to get a chance. I really would hope, and I implore you, to give the other people a chance. You know who you are. Just give those people a chance. Yes. Welcome.
Quite agree.
Morning.
Quite agree, David, and morning to you. I haven't spoken to you since November last year, okay?
Yes, sir.
Indeed, in fact, I talked to the program. I only come back on this week, actually. But I want to say this to you, David, and I really don't have anything to ask the supermarket owner, but I want to quiz you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
After the country, if the country go back to a state of normalcy, right, what do you think, as an experienced man, you know, and I'm not talking about experienced journalist, an experienced man living among people for all your life, I want you to tell me, what do you think, how it would impact, how this COVID-19 would impact on, Let me break down the Barbados, Bajans, and how you think will be the way of life going forward for the average fella.
Well, you know, I believe that ultimately it is about the human behavior that is going to determine the immediate, the medium term, and the long term effect. The immediate effect of it all will be that people will be more cautious. I think that in business, it is quite likely, and Andrew Bino, you can tell me what you think is likely in your type of business, but in many businesses, we have been forced to go in the direction of using technology to a greater extent.
In the interest of time, I would just like to ask one more thing, and then I could put that and give it away, right?
Mm-hmm.
David, do you believe that this will bring about a change for how people socialize, behave, and practices? Like, for instance, when we meet and greet people and shake hands and go, and you don't think, do you believe, though, that we will walk with sanitizers? Do you believe we will wash our hands more often? Because I really don't know if you have to take a fingerprint of me. I don't know if you can find any. I've been washing my hands so often, right? And I want to know if you think that will spill over in normal times.
Well,
David, that is the health aspect.
Yeah.
But I believe that...
I will go and listen to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I will go. Thanks.
I believe that one has now to project what business will be like in a year's time. I think that the way of doing business, the landscape, will be far different from it is now. If we take the facet of business, you have the financial aspect and so on. Yes, like today, we know that the banks and the financiers have been putting something on the table with respect to how they can assist their clients and so on at this point in time. I would say that what they have put on the table will fall far short of what is required. If we look at the number of people who are employed under the current economic situation, things are going to be so different that we will have to look at what structural adjustments need to be made by government, by business, by labor. If I can look down the road, I would say to you that the cost of living must be structurally altered so that what costs a dollar now will can only be affordable at 50 cents. And that is what we have to look forward to, year for, and structure to accommodate a year from now.
So that would impact on government taxation, right? Wouldn't it?
It would impact on everything. Government taxation is only a small part of it. Interest and interest rates, another part of it. I am saying right now that the financial institutions in this country, they have to take a haircut so that the populace. No, I got another friend here who's a businessman who is next to me.
But he can join us if he wants to.
Yeah, but the what it is that have been offered at this point in time is far too little. To say that you are forgiven interest for 3 months, no. There's a lot more that has to be done.
How much more do you want?
Well, look, I am putting it to you that economically, we cannot go forward in this country, in the Caribbean, and perhaps in the world. We cannot go forward in a situation where the current level of debt has to be repaid. Can't work going forward. So that I'm saying that.
So you're saying that the businesses need a debt restructuring?
The businesses, the economy itself.
Well, the economy has just had a debt restructuring. Indeed, the commercial banks will tell you that they already had a haircut.
No. Let's look at labor. As is now, there are many people who are already on the breadline. Looking down the line, I am saying that unless we come up with a means to maintain the current level of persons employed, then the labor force could very well be altered, where only half of what is being of the number of persons, only about half would be employed. So we have to find a method, a structure that allows us to maintain the same level of employment. And one of the things that I'm going to put out there to the unions and to the labor people is that we may very well, everybody may very well have to live on 50% of what it is that they're earning now to maintain everybody in a job. So this is going to have what is called the knock-on effect. So these are the things that our economists, our planners, our financiers, our government. This is the big, dark reality that one needs to confront right now rather than find ourselves in the doldrums a year from now.
One other question before we go to another caller. There is the suggestion that perhaps the way to solve the problem that we are facing with the supermarkets is to have them operate normal times.
I would not agree to that. I would say that we're currently now on an 8-hour shift. People can shop within 8 hours. We at A1 used to do 16 hours a day. I have come to the conclusion that that is unnecessary. But we did that because everybody running after the next body. So I want to open later than anybody else. And therefore, I kept pushing and pushing. But it is not profitable for A1 to open 16 hours a day. A1 can open less hours a day and be more profitable than opening 16 hours a day. So these are the realities that we have to come to grips with within the supermarket industry. So I am saying that we can work far less hours than we were working before, serve the number of people, same number of people to be shopping, right? So we don't need to open more than 8 to 10 hours or even 12 at the most.
Is that one of your post-COVID changes?
Very likely. That is going through my mind all right now. So yes, I'm considering it.
All right, let's take a call. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
When you made your request that only you wouldn't want regular callers, it was already in.
Well, I think I don't want to have to haggle with you all on the air. So I'm just begging you to be considerate today.
Yeah, all I was trying to say, I can just put on the phone after on hold.
I don't accept that, but you go ahead.
Huh?
I don't accept it. But
you mean I should have put on the phone when I heard you made the request?
You could have. You know that.
Oh, I won't speak today then.
All right.
I regard you, sir.
Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hi, morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fair. Well, how is Dennis?
Dennis is okay. He's on holiday.
He's on holiday. Okay. Glad to hear that he's on holiday. The last time I spoke with you, I had a bad throat, and I don't think you were too keen on listening to me.
That's not the problem. If you could be easily understood.
How audible I was.
If you could be easily understood, that was not a problem.
I'm back bed now.
Yes, you have Mr. You have this discussion going, and we have Mr. Bynoe on the line as well.
Okay, well, I will mention something about Mr. Bynoe, but I want to say something which, or a couple of things that would be complimentary. And I say what the world needs now are food and pharmaceuticals. And by pharmaceutical, I mean therapeutics and biomedicals. The world, like a horse, has gone out of phase. Right? So the jockey must ease up, pat it, and wait. They ain't going to be no NFL, no IPL, no NBA, nothing like that. All these months, you can play a rub out. I agree with Mr. Bynoe. I think the period of... I didn't hear him this morning because I've been on early. I make sure I get him in the first 5 calls. What I must agree with him with is that there's no need for a 2-hour break. The alphabetical system, fine. Supermarkets have their merchandisers, both from within and from without, right? Now, there are certain things that was not pleasing to me a few weeks ago, but I couldn't join in. As I told you, I had a bad voice. And there are things which are still not pleasing. I think that, I know that when the RNA has to come publicly and make a plea to be properly outfitted, when the SSA had to come and make a plea publicly to be properly outfitted, then cashiers in banks and private, some of them withdrew, but some of them feared losing a job. Could you imagine a chief executive in government who has no training whatsoever in the relevant science can come and write a letter, a directive, stating under no circumstances will you be allowed to wear a mask. Under no circumstance, because it does not look professional. What the devil does he know or she know about professionalism and the science? And it is at this point that I think... Miss Motley, I wouldn't say drop the ball. She didn't move to take the catch. I.e., from the time we started getting certain signals, everybody calls it a war, whether it is Macron or Trump or whoever, calls it a war. So you needed a war cabinet. And this was the time, the appropriate time, even if it was hard to do previously. The nature of the beast demands that you have a reshuffle, taking some of the pretty boy Floyds on the back seat, I'm bringing forward some of the simple assignments. And by simple, I don't mean simple in mind. I mean simple in approach. And I think, not I think, I know that Ms. Motley should have first of all asked Dr. Jerome Walcott, come on this front.
Look,
bench.
When you are Prime Minister of Barbados,
yeah.
You know you will have the opportunity
to
exercise those types of choices.
Ideas,
but for right now,
what I'm telling you, man.
Come on.
What I'm saying is bring forward some, but I can get around to what you want to hear. You hold on a minute.
Not what you want to hear. No, you ain't got enough time. No, because you're taking real long to deliver
man,
this ball.
Bring forward Walcott to the front bench. Give up your defense and security and carve out some from the Attorney General and the Home Affairs Minister and make our boss tick, who has been trained in emergencies, Sandhurst Train. What you call the other one? I can't remember the name of the other one. Where you go into different territories, Puerto Rico or whatever for training. Put him in there.
You know what you need
heard you, Mr.
Just
Ed.
Hold on.
Yeah,
look,
yeah,
you're just waxing warm on this thing. Let me ask you, man.
Yeah.
When you look at the problems that we are facing right
but you
now,
told me something there, Mr.
which one of them do you consider to be the most pressing? And what are you recommending that we do about it, other than just creating a war cabinet or reshuffling the cabinet?
I call it a war cabinet because it will be a cabinet reflective of the time.
All right, let's move on.
Hello.
Yes, I'm listening.
Hello. Yes. No. I am saying I heard you with Professor Walren, Sir Errol Walren. I said something to you. As I said, I couldn't join in then, and it made so much sense. We need a minister in charge of our only tertiary hospital, along with the psychiatric hospital.
Okay.
We need somebody, another minister, in charge of...
We have a problem with this line. Because I can hear some interference and stuff.
I ain't interfering with nothing, Mr. Ellis.
Let's move on.
It is because of how you are hooked up.
No, don't worry about it. I think finalize your point.
Finalize my point?
Yes, please.
The next thing I want to get in here, the SSA.
The next thing?
In my opinion, the SSA workers are not appropriately dressed protectively. They have one mask on. Okay.
Okay.
Which I suppose lasts them for 9 hours.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yes. This is Andrew Bino.
Yeah.
Right. I think we've conferenced you with another caller.
Hello?
Caller, yes. Hello.
Hey, David Ellis, how are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good. Listen, they call about one thing only, right?
What's that?
I was told, because I have family members that work in the QVH hospital, and they were told that once they are frontline people that work in the hospital, that when they go to a solid gas station and they put $50 in gas in the vehicle, they will get an extra $20 in gas, right? Yesterday, one of them went to the gas station, not only one, a couple of ladies went and they complained and they say, hey, you know, when we went there, we were told that we weren't essential workers. Mm. We show our IDs, stuff like that, and we were told that.
Well, you know, that would have to be clarified with the authorities. So the authorities and the people at the gas station would have to discuss that and rectify it if these people are being told something other than what they were advised.
Or who's classified as essential workers?
Yes. Well, that I think would have to be clarified at that level. I don't know. These are nurses or doctors?
The maids.
Okay. So, in the eyes...
They said that only the doctors, nurses, and engineers are classified as essential workers.
Understood. So that needs to be clarified. If the maids believe that, they of course they play a significant supporting role to the people,
you know?
To the other people. So, I mean, in all seriousness, you're not likely to get the kind of environment that is necessary for the doctors and nurses and other specialists to operate if the place is not cleaned up.
So exactly.
They are essential to the whole process.
But I had called Saul this, I had called Saul head office this morning, and I was told that they are working from at home.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Bino, I have a couple of people here. One person says, I am on Swan Street, standing in the line since 6:46 a.m. And would you believe that there's another line of people assembling for the 1 p.m. group of shoppers with letters A and D? Somebody else says that they have been outside Price Mart, I believe, from 5 o'clock. People have been out there from 5 o'clock this morning. And, you know, there is a lot of frustration. And in the midst of all of the frustration, there is a quality of behavior that is coming from Barbadians that is admirable. And generally across this country, notwithstanding the frustration that people are expressing, they are behaving well. And that, you know, sometimes these things are ignored when we discuss these issues. But from what they are saying to us, you see, on the ground, boy, this thing is, it's just tough. It's very tough.
The behavior is exemplary.
Yeah.
And we have to be grateful that in this country, Barbadians can behave in such a decent manner. All walks of life, people from all walks of life, are very understanding and they are behaving well. Now, I come back to the point of the lines. I believe that, as I say, within 2 weeks, David, we are not going to have these lines the way they are now.
Yeah, but that implies that for 2 weeks, we got to go through this.
Well, I say 2 weeks, but maybe less than 2 weeks. I don't know. Honestly, I cannot think of any other system where you will not get the kind of long lines at this stage. I cannot think of any other system. So one has to allow the system to work. It will work.
This person.
I come back to the point. Allow us in the supermarket to open at 7, to pack our groceries and so on at night. Bring our staff to be able to get the people through the register as quickly as possible. That is what we need to do now, virtually. Among ourselves or behind the scenes in order to get the people out.
Well, this writer is saying to us that having heard the reassurances from you and the Prime Minister, seeing is believing. They say that they happen to be among the first batch of people entering one of the supermarkets on Wednesday morning when the system was introduced, this new one. The person said, I saw shelves that were partially empty and some regular brands of items were missing. I did see staff packing in some aisles, however. Mr. Bino stated that he'd like to see these shelves packed during the curfew time at night. So that may have been reasonable. But as the saying goes, a lie can travel around the world before the truth can get its shoes on. Supermarkets, therefore, need to have the opportunity to restock their shelves in advance to allay the fears that can develop when shoppers see partially bare shelves, especially early in the morning at this time. So here we are dealing with the psychology of it.
So that person is in agreement with me then?
Yes, they are.
Right.
They are. And they're saying that part of the reason why you're seeing people in the long lines and part of the reason why there is this apparent fear is based on what people were seeing because
right.
The shelves were not stocked in the morning when they went in.
That's right. And furthermore, you don't see what you really want, then you have to take more time to look around to find a substitute. or you know, look for something else. So therefore, I would make the appeal once again. Let us put that right. Allow us the merchandise at night.
Talk to us about what impact all of this has had on the workers and the actual organizing of a supermarket.
All right. You know, I would say that our workers, not only here, I'm sure elsewhere, have responded well. People are now chipping to get things done. Whereas before, it would have been one today and one tomorrow. I would say all of a sudden, a new attitude has come over our workers. So that they are now getting on with the job as one would have always wanted. So that obviously has made a difference. People are, you know, responding well.
Person says here, it is sad what the supermarkets are doing to their customers. Just open longer hours. We are all in this together.
Right, right.
How do you respond to that?
Well, the longer hours, I am asking for one extra hour. So rather than 8 hours, we do 9.
And you think that would be adequate for dealing with the demand right now?
It will. You see, the other thing is that people are home. So therefore, there's opportunity to come to the store, whereas if you were at work, then, you know, you wouldn't be out to do your shopping. So perhaps that is also another reason.
Somebody asked, who packs the shelves? If the merchandisers come in at night, then workers have to pack the shelves so that they can be ready for the next morning.
That is exactly what we're doing or what we want to do.
That involves the union then? In some instances.
No, it doesn't involve the union. People want to work.
Okay.
My staff would love to work. It has nothing to do with the union. People want to work. It is their decision.
Mr. Bino, you say your workers want to work. But what about the fears that they may be carrying about COVID-19?
Fine. We are on the front line. And all of us, from me back down, we are very concerned about our health. Here, within the A1 group, we have engaged a medical team, inclusive of doctors and nurses, who are available to our staff at each store for 2 hours each day. We encourage our staff go through the preliminary examination at this level. Thankfully, so far, we have no problems, but we're dealing with a disease that can manifest itself, from one day to the next with some dire consequences. So, yes, we recognize that we are on the front line. We have taken certain steps which will protect our cashiers as much as possible. Right now, all of our staff, we're wearing masks. We have the shields at all our cash out registers. I would say that only recently, when you hear from Randall Banfield, this COVID-19 has brought us together as supermarkets in a way that we were never, talking and planning with each other before. Massey have just been told by Randy that they have sourced a number of shields and which he would make available to other stores, so that most of us now within the supermarket industry, maybe from tomorrow or the following day, will be wearing shields.
But let's be realistic about the impact of Well, I think they're calling it something different. No, the World Health Organization says it's now called physical distancing, not social distancing, because you can be physically apart but socially together. So, but let's look at the impact of that on cashiers. Cashiers are not normally 6 feet apart. So what has happened there?
We have, between each cashier, we have some shields. So though we don't have the 6 feet, and they're careful. They're not talking to each other. We are trying to restrict, how much talking we do and so on. So we're trying our best.
Agreed.
To live within what we would say a proper health standard.
Yeah, but you see, the concept of using the shield as distinct from taking the distance, are you assured that is that guaranteed to do what is required?
I couldn't answer that. We're doing our best to take care of ourselves.
All right. This person says, I am particularly astounded at the lack of preparation of the private sector, especially the supermarkets. I am a 70-year-old, and I have placed an order online with one of them. And up to now, I have received nothing. I live alone, I have to take care of myself and stay indoors. It is amazing that they are not organized. Prices have gone up. How do we expect to move forward if we remain rooted in the past?
Fine. Now, this situation has been thrust upon us. When people were told that they can order and we will deliver, when I say we know, on behalf of the sector, we will deliver or you can collect curbside. The amount of orders we got were staggering. Some of us did not even have in place the IT preparation, so that whilst the orders were coming in, we were attempting to fix that aspect whereby we can receive orders and route them in the right direction, et cetera, and get back to the people with messages and so on. Some of us haven't even completed that yet. However, we all of us have thousands of orders as a backlog. So we're still trying to catch up. It is nothing, should we say, that is peculiar or unique to us. In England, I am aware that certain stores in England have got a six-week wait, so that you send your order today and it is going to take 6 weeks before you get that order. We are trained to really process as much as possible these orders. And though I would be beating a horse, I come back to the point that we need to be able to get in the stores between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. so that we can push off some of these orders as well.
Just to remind you, for those of you who joined this program a little later, we have invited, I spoke to three different supermarket operators. Mr. Bino was one. I've spoken to somebody from Massey. And the people that I asked to come from another one, I won't name them right now, said they would prefer to listen rather than to participate in the program. There was a meeting which the supermarket operators had under the aegis of the Chamber of Commerce yesterday afternoon, and we've had an update of that meeting from Mr. Bino. But in a sense, he's speaking more for his own organization, his own company. And to some extent, there are some things that he will touch on that would relate to the group, but he is not here speaking on behalf of the group as an official spokesman, if you want to find out whether he's speaking for the entire group.
No, I thank you not. Very much for clarifying that.
Fine. Thank you. Let's take another call. Hello? Good morning. It's 10:51. Yes, good morning.
Hi. Today is my day for shopping and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to give an update of what my experience was like.
Yes.
I went out before 8 o'clock this morning. I went to Massey Worthing. The line was from the front door, down the side of the building, all down through the back of the car park, through the avenue by Mojo's, onto the main road, heading to Chaffette. Trimart's line was from the door, heading towards the main road, heading back to Massey. So I went to ShopSmart Worthing. That line was around the building, onto the main road. Then I went to ShopSmart Wildy. The line was from the door, across the car park, out to Wildy Road, and also the ATM, First Caribbean ATM, had a line of cars heading to the ATM. So I went to the ATM, was in the cars, then I had to go and I went in ShopSmart line as well, but it wasn't moving. So I went then to Price Low. Their line was from the door, across the car park, onto the road, heading towards Sheraton. I then came back down Rendezvous Hill, went to the gas station at the bottom of the hill, realized that their shelves in the little convenience place, see if I could get a few things in there. Shelves were bare because they say they only got permission to open yesterday, so they now have to replenish. So because I was already there, so frustrated, all I could do was buy a chocolate and come back home.
Wow.
And my time now, 11 o'clock, my shopping for the day is supposed to be over.
Well, you've heard Mr. Bino say that among them, they have this feeling that once this rush is gone through, within another week or two, we should find it easier to get to the supermarket. Do you feel that way?
No.
Why not?
I don't feel that way. I feel that if you're doing the alphabetical, because one thing too is I'm told now that when you go in the supermarket, if you do get in, you're limited to a certain amount of items to get. So if a person went in and said, okay, good, I ain't here now, I can do my shopping for the month so I don't have to come in no more line. They're not being allowed to do it, only a certain amount of things they can get, which means that that person going to want to come back a second day now to be in the line to get the other things that they were not allowed to get the first time.
Yeah, but David.
Yeah, yes, David, Mr. Bino.
I mean, this caller, I mean, with all due respect, ma'am, I'm putting it to you that if you had remained in one of those lines, for instance, the first line that you went in, if you remained in that line by now, you should have been out.
No, Mr. Bino, but Massey Line had hundreds of people heading to Chaffette from Massey Door. You know Massey Worthing? From the door, across the car park, down to avenues, then onto the main road, heading to Chaffette, down by Accra Beach. I would have stood up in that line for 2 hours hoping to get into the supermarket.
Yeah, but the other thing is that...
No, I would not have made it into the supermarket today.
But the thing is, what is happening in Barbados, again, is happening all over the world.
I understand that, but what
people
I'm saying
have
is the half day, I understand. But then you're seeing that when a person thinks to get close to the door, 11 o'clock, somebody's coming out and saying, okay, your session is over, you got to come back another day.
I'm saying that maybe
I'm giving feedback so that maybe people can get some more feedback from other people.
Right.
On the experiences, because if you're going half day with the alphabetical thing, for me, it isn't working. Because maybe if you're going alphabetical and go a whole day for the alphabetical, then a person could do a week shopping in that one day they're allowed. I don't know.
Fine.
My other concern is with my alphabetical thing, the way it is right now, when we look at not next week, when we look at the week after where we have the bank holidays, both of my days, Tuesday and Friday, are bank holidays. So that's something that needs to be looked at in advance so that people know what they can do to prepare.
We have asked the government agencies to look at that. We've brought that to the attention of the planners, and we've asked them to look at that. But coming back to the alphabet, I would agree with you that if you're in the line, you're in the line.
Correct. To
right.
be told then
so
that...
I would agree with you there.
Even if you're done by Chaffette.
Yeah, but it's going to take the time to get through. You're going to get through. But if you're in the line, you're in the line.
There's no way today, I'm telling you, that I am familiar with Massey Worthing, okay? I know those aisles. I know the things. I'm telling you, I've done it at Christmas, and I could do it again. At Christmas, when I have shopping to do, I know what I need. I know which aisles to go to. I could get through in there in less than half hour and fill a trolley. You understand? But then when you're going to tell me no, that I can't even fill my trolley no, because I don't want to come back another day, I got to go back another day and hope to try and get in another half day. I ain't even getting the first half day.
Well, so here's a question for you from somebody. So why you didn't go to a village shop?
They don't have village shops that I know about here. I would have gone to a village shop if I know about the village shops, if they have village shops, but I don't know about any village shops in this area.
Because there are people, that's the truth, there are people whose whole pattern is such that the village shops don't necessarily feature on their radar. That's the reality of people's existence.
No, and a person like that, I could go to a village shop, I could go and pick a breadfruit, I could go, and once I know where to go and get it, I will go.
Right.
I will go, but just that this morning, all these different places I tried, when I saw the lines, there's no way.
Yeah.
That I know that I would have made it to anybody's door.
But, Mr. Bino, this idea that this thing is happening all over the world, where else are you hearing complaints of this nature? Is this happening in the United States and in England and in New Zealand and those places? I'm not seeing it in the news.
Right, but don't take me that far. But I know that perhaps one of the other problems one of the pluses elsewhere would be the number of available places to shop. All right, so there may be places that have more shops available to people, and therefore you wouldn't get the kind of long lines that we are experiencing. But again, I say, give this system time to work.
I agree.
I would make the point with you, and I can agree with you, that if you are in the line, you are in the line, and you should not be cut off at 11 o'clock. That, I believe, was a mistake.
Yeah, but...
I believe that has been attended to.
Isn't part of this the fact that if you are in the line that is supposed to shop up to 11 o'clock, that the people who are supposed to come after you also join the line? Because I saw somebody... making an observation to that effect.
Yeah, so, I agree.
I believe that is a mistake. As long as you're in line.
Yes, ma'am.
To give the system time to work. I understand that. I agree with that. But if it is my first time now in the system trying to get my site to work, if I can't even get one bit of, even a 2-week supply to shop, it isn't working for me.
Yeah, well, that depends on the particular supermarket, really.
No, not the particular, because I tried more particulars this morning. It wasn't just one particular that I tried. It wasn't the one that I accustomed going to. I tried.
No, but you would have seen lines at everybody. You would have seen lines at Emerald City. You would have seen lines at Carrollton too.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I agree to try. You were saying to just give the system a chance to work. But people have to have things in the home first that they could sit back and say, I have enough. I don't need anything this week. And the system is working on the outside all the time. But then when you get up now, it's your turn to go, and you're trying to get, and you can get at the time you were supposed to get, well, it isn't working for you.
Yeah, well, that's
the truth of the matter is, Mr. Bino, I think implicit in your own call for people to give the system time to work is a recognition that at the moment it isn't working, not in the way that people want it to. And therefore, it is creating a tremendous amount of dislocation among people out there and frustration.
I don't know of any other system now that you could employ.
I want to ask Mr. Bino a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Bino,
yeah.
Do you think then that if the supermarkets were allowed to remain open as they used to, the regular hours, and anybody going, any number of people going with the masks, with the sanitizing, the trolleys, with all those other things, this social distancing as far as possible, do you think that that could work? Do you think it might be worse? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I am also concerned mm-hmm. about the staff.
Yeah.
We are frontline people. Mm-hmm. When you expect us to work 12 and 16 hours a day, and I know what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
okay, because even from my position, I am out there working with the staff, so I know how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, from a staff point of view, we still have to recognize that, one, we're in the front line. Two, we need time to catch ourselves to be back there on the following day.
No, so I don't think you understood
I understand you. I don't think that you can put the onus on us to open the stores continuously like that.
No. I don't think you understood me. I don't think you understood me.
All right.
Maybe I didn't put it over correctly. Okay. I want a comparison. As it is right now, and how the rules are enforced right now, as against if we have COVID in the country, but the supermarkets, like a regular day, compare it with a regular supermarket day where we have COVID, but the supermarket is open as normal. The only difference is people wearing masks and have the hand sanitized. Are you seeing more people in the supermarkets, a big flood of people now every day because of these rules? Or are you seeing or versus what a regular day would have been if you were allowed to operate as normal?
All right.
Are your people being under more pressure now? With the volume maybe coming in, that's what I want to know. Are the volumes that coming in, I would think you're getting volumes every single day?
All right. I made the point earlier that our staff are responding
mm-hmm.
So that we're pushing the customer out a lot quicker
mm-hmm.
based on the fact that we have the pressure from the number of persons in the store.
Uh-huh.
I have also said, and I believe, that in due course, be it 7 days or 10 days, that this pressure will dissipate and that we will not have these long lines the way that we have them now.
Okay.
So it's a matter of the timing.
So the staff is under more pressure now? You would say?
I ain't going to use the word pressure.
Well, you used it before in your explanation, so...
Okay, yes, in terms of the pressure that the people would bring on us. But yes, what is happening is... Fine, but the staff are now... They've come up then.
I know the step
in terms
up.
Of... Right, okay?
Right, I understand all of that, but I'm still trying to understand if they're under more pressure now, would it be less pressure if they went back to the hole it was?
Well, you're saying you're
looking out for your staff and everybody's looking out for the staff, which is exemplary.
Yes.
But if they're under all of this pressure now with the rules that are enforced, would it be less pressure than if it went to how it was before with just the mask and thing added to everything else? What we have to look at too is next week is end of month. Some people can be getting money in hand and stuff like that. And
right.
if you believe there are going to be more people again at the supermarket, you're saying maybe another week or so, give it. But
I know, but
end
I'm,
of month
I'm,
coming and more people going to be back in the lines again.
I am saying take all this in stride.
I understand.
All right, ma'am. Well, I enjoyed the exchange between the two of you on this matter because you have brought, ma'am, some of the questions that many people out there have on their minds. And Mr. Bino, you've taken the opportunity to respond as best as you could to the questions that she has posed. Someone from the UK, thank you, ma'am. Somebody from the UK is saying that they're not having this situation there. They say that the seniors are first, and after 9 o'clock, it's the general public. This person says, I shop every 2 weeks. Yes, I queue. But the wait time is about 5 to 10 minutes. And home delivery works for the vulnerable. Well, it's recognized in the answer which was given on this issue of home delivery here that this is new to the operators of the supermarkets, and they haven't been geared for this. So as a result, so many people have orders they're waiting that they just can't get. And I mean, most likely they might have to turn to some alternative source to get what they want.